first chart and the second chart, because that could be confusing, obviously.
Right. Well, yeah, these are going to be third declension words, right? And so it depends on what that sigma is touching, to whether or not the case ending stays or not. So that depends on what consonant is there. And if there's a feminine third declension word, you may not have that sigma there. So we'll just keep going through it, and we'll come
so
to...
So feminine words?
What's that?
The sigma?
Well, if it's a feminine...
Or have the case ending...
Like the feminine form...
Mm-hmm.
And a third declension word... we lose that sigma there. That's what that's telling us.
Okay.
But there's easier ways to look at it than thinking about this chart. This is just kind of like a reference for it. We'll come back to this after we see some real world examples. Yeah, what you guys love to do is fill in the top chart, and you want to go left to right still. You want to go sigma nothing new, sigma nothing. Upsilon, sigma, upsilon, os, os. Yoda, 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 yoda. So that's all the way across. That's easy.
Oh.
New, new, new. Alpha, new, nothing. Yeah. And then yoda, yoda, alpha, s, alpha. And the genitive plurals, easy, own, all the way across. Dative plural, is. But then in the third declension, look what happens. It inverts, right? And it goes to CC, but with the movable new. So it's still sigma yoda, but it's just inverted.
What is a movable new?
Did we just do that? Does that check the tone, or is that?
Yeah, that question keeps coming up every once in a while. So sometimes when words are followed by like a vowel, another word that starts with a vowel or something like that, then they'll add a new in there, so that you can differentiate where one word ends and the next word begins. Yeah, what is he saying in his footnote? He says, in the footnote G, the new is a movable new. Notice that the ending C is a flipped version of S found in the first and second declension.
Okay.
Same thing.
So that's why it's in the parentheses, because it follows that.
Right. Let's see, let's just go through these footnotes a little bit. For footnote A is up there in the upper right-hand corner for the dash. She says, be prepared for the final stem letter to undergo changes. Where's B? The upsilon and the genitive singular. He says, the ending is actually omicron, which contracts with the final stem vowel and forms oo. That's that's in the part that we already knew. Yeah.
So the rules, these are noun rules? The noun?
So
rule
eight,
rule
five.
The noun rule. Right?
The noun rule.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah. Let's see. Yoda under C has the vowel lengthens and the yoda subscripts. We know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
D, the yoda, he says, because third declension stems end in a consonant, the yoda cannot subscript as it does on first and second declension, so it remains on the line. You see that here in your books? Right? So on the true case endings, what you have to fill in, it's all yodas, right? Across. But in the real world, where are we? Right here. Where we're subscripting, third declension we won't. But it's still a yoda. Let's see. Footnote E. The alpha new. And the accusative singular third declension. He says, on some words, the case ending alternates between alpha and nu. F, on the nominative plural neuter third declension. As opposed to the first and second declension, this alpha is the actual case ending and is not, and not a changed stem vowel. This is also true in the accusative plural. So you remember... comparing these two alphas right here have that line underneath them, right? Remember that from our original chart? That line underneath told us that there had been some kind of contraction or something happening to get that alpha. Where here, this alpha here and here is a true alpha. That's all he's notating. Let's see, where do we leave off? G, we read that already. And then H, let's see, H is on the accuser of plural first declension, or second declension, us ending. He says, the actual case ending for the first and second declension is nu sigma, but the nu drops out because of the following sigma. In the first declension, the alpha simply joins with the sigma, so hora plus nu sigma becomes horas. But in the second declension, the final stem, omicron, lengthens to u, rule 5. So logons becomes logos, becomes logus. Do you guys see that?
Logus.
Yes. Are you guys reading the footnotes with me?
Yep.
So I'm taking you into the deep end here a little bit. Swimming, right? Reading the footnotes. No.
Yeah.
No, this is just showing you some of the morphology of how they got to these endings, you know, which we're not really being tested on how, we're just being tested on what they are. But I'm letting you go with this a little bit as far as understanding why, you know, what makes them unique. Let's see, H-I, where's I? Oh yeah, the accusative plural, third declension, masculine, feminine, os. It says, as opposed to the first declension, for example, hora, the alpha here is part of the case ending. Okay. Alright, turn the page. 10:15, gender. The gender of third declension words can be difficult to determine because the inflection patterns are not as distinct as those in the first and second declensions. You must memorize the gender of every word. What is going to help you with that? What will help you know the gender?
The article.
The article. The article is your buddy. Right? Ha, hey, ha. So that will reveal quickly what the gender is. There are, however, a few patterns. In this chapter, you will meet stems ending in mot. All mot stems are neuter. Okay, well, that's good. 16, the article becomes especially important now. Even though a noun itself changes its form, the article always remains the same. So toe, dative singular, will always be toe, whether the noun modifies its first, second, or third declension. Most nouns are modified by the article, which makes it easy to determine the noun's gender. Alright. Square stops. A stop is a consonant whose sound is formed by slowing down or completely stopping the flow of air through the mouth. That's not important for grammar. That's just telling you why it's called that. Stops are broken down into three classifications. Labial stops, P, beta, and phi, are formed by using the lips to impede the airflow momentarily. That's why they're called a stop, which is essential in creating the sound. Try to say P without letting your lips touch. Hard. Velar stops, kappa, gamma, and ki, are formed by pushing up the middle of the tongue against the soft part of the roof of your mouth. Some people call these palatals instead of velars. Dentals, tau, delta, and theta, are formed by clicking the tongue against the back of the teeth. Actually, he says in his footnote, it is not the teeth, but the alveolar ridge behind the teeth that is used, but the word teeth is easier for most to associate with dental. That's just for trivia. Okay, so labials, velars, and dentals. Here is rule number 7, noun rule number 7. This is important. The seventh of the eight noun rules is this chart. Be sure to memorize it exactly. Not only should you be able to repeat it left to right, but top to bottom. So going from left to right is the kind of classification. But going from top to bottom is the what you could call kind of like this part right here. Going in a column view is the strength or intensity at the stop. So less intense, more intense to the right. That doesn't really affect anything, that's just so you know how they're kind of organized. The chart is important because the stops behave in a consistent manner. Whatever happens to a stem ending in a tau also happens to a stem ending in a delta, because tau and delta are both dentals. If you learn the chart, you will often be able to predict what is going to happen. This is much easier than memorizing lists of paradigms of words. Yes. This same square of stops will also be important when we study verbs, so a little time spent here saves hours and hours of frustration later.
So you learn, right?
Well, if you know this chart and you know what a word, like what the stem of a word is, then you can kind of identify what's going on inside the word. The alternative is to memorize the inflection pattern of every word. We don't want to do that. Okay, 10:20. Whenever a stop and a sigma come into contact, the results are predictable. Learn these changes well because you will encounter them often. Okay? So, let me move over here. Zoom in a little bit. Alright, so if you get a labial plus a sigma, what do you get?
C.
C, right? So, that's like, if you have and you get a ps, right? What was the show on TV on PBS where they did that? What?
Dog Whisperer?
No.
Oh, no.
Electric Company?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So they would have like silhouetted heads, and then the one would have like, it was all about phonics. It was like came on after Sesame Street. And so you had Sesame Street for little kids, and you had Electric Company. Electric Company had like Morgan Freeman, who was on that show. There was a bunch of Bill Cosby who was on that show. But it was teaching kids all about phonics. And they had these two silhouetted heads. And one, if we use this up here, would go, pss, pss, and then they would say it together. So, they would phonetically sound out words like that. I probably learned to read by watching that show. I bet. Yes.
Okay, sorry. I'm like, this is down the side thing. No letter in the Greek alphabet starts with like the sound huh, because I was like trying to sidetracking here, but I was trying to figure out how to spell my name. And there's no huh, there's no H. So what do you use?
What's the
alpha referendum?
How do you spell your name right now?
H A N N A H.
And
so would it be T alpha nu alpha? Because
you want an H sound?
Yeah, because it goes like. But what like?
This is why you
with
like
big, a rough
big bucks here, but that'd be the first vowel sound, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you want a rough breather.
A rough breather.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. It was such a sidetracking thing, but I was like really confused.
How do you spell my name?
Yeah.
No, but like,
we want to
like
tattoo
what?
It up too. And
well, what if there's like an H sound in the middle of it? What
three.
Would you use?
That's
three?
No.
Because I know Hebrew has a lot of like the rough breathers in
yeah.
the language,
yeah.
but Greek doesn't have that. It's like there's not a lot of like sounds in there. So it's,
yeah.
it, so
they Well, but there would be, it may not be exactly the same. I mean, if you think about in Hebrew, Jesus' name is
Jesus.
Yeshua, right? And which we get the J, but in Greek, it's totally, it's like not, it's not even like kind of the same. Yeah. And some words carry over, some letters carry over, and some don't.
Because I know that for the article, that's a ha. So like, why is there no letters that make the same sound?
Well, that's an omicron with a rough breather, though. Right? Ha. That's omicron with that rough breather to get that sound.
Sorry, I was
just thinking of like, you know, a specific word and then in the Hebrew and then go see what it transliterated over into Greek, but it may not, they may have come up with a different way of saying the word.
Because my name is a Hebrew name, so it's pronounced the same, like in Hebrew and in English. So I was wondering for Greek because there's no letters that make that sound.
Yeah.
So try looking up 1 Samuel and the Septuagint to see what
Hannah
is.
Yeah. You do that at the break.
Yeah. I'm writing it down for all of it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, remind me at the break and we'll look it up in the Septuagint. Okay. All right, Bellers.
Beller.
Right?
Beller.
Bellers. Kappa, gamma, and chi. What happens when the and the s come together? Makes a C sound, right? What happens with a dental t and a sigma?
T is the tape.
What's the rule?
The T runs away.
Yeah, the T bails. The towel bails, right? Yeah. All right, so let me do this. Yes. Yeah, that's the tendency of the dentals. All right, so here we have three examples. Scallop, which is a stem. That's why he has the asterisk over here, right? Everyone see the asterisk? Plus a sigma, scallops, sarc, C becomes sarc, C, and anamat plus C becomes anamasi. So the tau dropped out.
Where did the yod come on the C? At the end of the C, the front bottom C, why did you put the yod?
These are your case endings here.
Okay.
And so he's using case endings that have sigmas. Alright, we won't read the footnotes. Alright, Rule 8. So that was Rule 7. Rule 7 is just the chart. Which chart? Not this one. It's this chart over here.
So the other one is just to know?
Yeah, that's so you can just see the changes.
Labial,
velar, dental. So I could ask you to just fill in the whole chart with the labels and the characters. I could put the labels in there and have you put the characters in there. I could put the characters and have you put the labels. But you have to know that chart. So I just write out that chart. And like he says, it comes back in verbs later as a useful tool. So we want to learn it. Rule 7. Rule 8. A towel cannot stand at the end of a word and will drop off. You knew that. For example, the stem of the word name is anamat. No case ending is used in the nominative singular, and the final towel drops off, anamat. This is the final rule for case endings. You know all 8. They are listed in the appendix on page 346.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no more noun rules, isn't that great? We're done with noun rules now. There will be more rules, but not the noun rules.
So with a towel, it drops off if it's at the end of a word, and like say there's no case ending, and when there's a sigma, right? Only. If there's another case ending that was applied to the T, would
No, it doesn't like sigmas and it doesn't like being by itself at the end.
Okay. But well, what if my the ending was a yoda, it's not a sigma and it's not at the end, so it would stay, right?
Yep.
Okay. So it's just sigmas and nothing.
Right.
Okay, got it.
Okay. 10:22. Pause. What time is it? Oh. Alright, take a break. Right?
Figure this out. I need to figure this out.
I'm
like, this is bothering me.
Goody
bars
back there.
Uh-oh, goody bars.
Oh! Either we get bad
HP or whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, hey. Whoa, what?
I'm leaving. No, what? I heard something. Someone say something about goody bars.
We are at paragraph 22. Haas. Page 85. Haas is a 313 type adjective. Footnote 13. 313 means the masculine and neuter follow the third declension while the feminine follows the first declension. And is often used as the paradigmatic word for the third declension. The root of the word is hunt. Right? Hunt. Which in the feminine is altered to passat. Footnote 14, for those who are interested in advanced morphology, it is altered because a consonantal iota was added to form the feminine stem, and the new tau and the consonantal iota form sa. Now you know. I told you to go carefully into the footnotes. Okay, all you really have to know is that in the 313 pattern, the third declension root is kant, and the first declension root is pasat. Armed with this knowledge and the rules in this chapter, you should be able to write out the entire paradigm for this word without looking below. Try it if you can. We'll turn the page.
Yes. And wouldn't you drop the tau on that?
Yes. If what?
If there's... If the tau is last, or if there's a sigma following the tau.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If you like to memorize paradigms, this is the one. Not only does it show the first and third declension, but it is key for learning participles in chapter 26. Because pos is an adjective, it can function substantively. When it does, it may require the use of an additional word like people or things. But unlike other adjectives, pos usually is in the predicate position when modifying a noun. Look at the example there. Pos, pa anthropos, every man. So, even though when you translate every man, every, that's pos. Is that functioning attributively or as a predicate? This is a trick question.
Can you say that again?
I guess it's a predicate, because that's what it said.
Got all the free blood.
Seems a trick.
A better pen. This one is bad. Okay. Every man. What's the adjective there?
Every,
right? Is it functioning attributively or in a predicate sense
it
here?
It seems to be attributive.
It is. Okay. What if I wanted to put it in the predicate position? Man is every. Right? That would. This is the predicate. This is all part of the predicate, right? So, this is attributively. But what he said here was, unlike other adjectives, cost usually is in the predicate position when modifying a noun. So, pa anthropos, right? Attributive position or predicate position?
Predicate.
Why?
Because there's no article.
There's no article with it, right? So if you looked at that based upon what you knew so far, you would say, oh, this needs to go here. Because it's in the predicate position. There's no article. But this word breaks that rule usually. And even though it's in the predicate position, we're still going to translate it attributively. Even though there's no article in front of the adjective.
Okay, well.
Head is hurt right there.
Next time we get home.
Next time, bring a helmet.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Look at the paradigm. Pos, pasa, pon. So there you have the 3-1-3, and you have lots of footnotes down at the bottom to remind you of the different rules of what happens in third declensions when sigmas get involved or taus are left at the end. But you can see the first declension feminine column is the different root. Pasa, pases, pase, pasan, pasai, pason, pasais, pasas. And that's first declension. So that is an alpha or eta stem ending.
Stem ending.
Yes.
Yep.
That's not the right way to say that.
Ending
for the stem, ending with an alpha or eta in the first declension.
Thank you.
So that's very predictable with what we've learned. But the masculine and the neuter third declension, and so there you have the new third declension endings for the masculine: pos, pontos, ponti, ponta, pontes, pontone, posse, pontos, and which of those case endings reveals the true stem?
Genitives and the singular.
Genitive singular. Shows you the pont. Okay? So that's, you see the third declension endings in real time there. Alright, 10.23. Categories. Adjectives fall into four categories, depending upon which declension they follow and whether the feminine and masculine forms are the same or different. The masculine and neuter always follow the same declension. You met 212 and 22 patterns in chapter 9. So here are the other ones. 212, 313, 22, and 33. And so over to the right, you have examples of each kind. So agathos, agathe, agathon. That's what we typically learn in the chapter in adjectives, is a 212 pattern, right? Then we're picking up pos today, pos, pos upon. That follows third and first and third declension. And we saw ionios in the previous chapter. That's a 22 adjective, or you could say 222 adjective, because it follows the second declension all the way across. And then you have 3-3, like tis and t, that are only in the third declension. Okay? It's just a pattern that they follow. Most are 212, which is happy. 10.24, there are two special situations concerning the translation of the article that you need to look at. So this is going to introduce a couple other things for us. Top of the page on 87. The article in Greek is much more than just the word the. It is a weak demonstrative, like a pronoun, which means it can perform as a demonstrative, meaning that, or a relative, who, or a personal pronoun, he, or one, depending upon the needs of the context. You will usually have to add a word into your translation to help, such as who or which. Let the context determine what is appropriate. He says down in the footnote, this is more second year grammar than first, something to look forward to. When you find the phrase hot day, the article is usually functioning as a personal pronoun, but he. So an example there, he has ha day opso mu erkomenos, but he who is coming, or the one who is coming. 10.25, sometimes you will find the article before a prepositional phrase. I mentioned this in 9.14. We talked about this. The article is showing you that the following prepositional phrase, ente oikia, so we look at an example there, tois ente oikia. The article is showing you that the prepositional phrase is in the attributive relationship to pasin, all. It is the same type of relationship that we have seen with adjectives, article noun, article modifier. Only here the modifier is a prepositional phrase. In order to translate this construction, you will normally turn the prepositional phrase into a relative clause and supply whatever words are necessary. The article will be in the same case, number, and gender as the noun. This way you can tell that the word, that what word the prepositional phrase modifies. So these, this may sound really complicated, but these really stand out as odd when you're reading. Because you're looking at that sentence in Matthew 5:15, and you lampe hasen tois, and you're like, wait a minute, tois, what noun does that go with? And then you have ente oikia, and you know that te and oikia go together because they match, right? They're both dative singular. Then you have this dative plural tois, all by itself. And there's no noun with that article. So that's why it's an odd construction. So you'll go, wow, I have an article and then I have this prepositional phrase. What is going on? And then you will flip back in your book and try to find the section to remember what to do with that very odd construction. So, It is introducing a relative, like it's making it into a relative clause here. Who are in the house? The ones in the house. It gives light to all of those that are in the house. All who are in the house.
Let's get the all.
The pasen. Right here. See that word? That's pas. Pasin. All or every. Okay? So to summarize this, and then we'll do the workbook together. Yeah. And that's when it will all start to make sense. Summarizing, words whose stems end in a consonant use third declension case endings. To find the stem of a third declension noun, locate the genitive singular and drop the case ending. 3, to remember the gender of a third declension noun, memorize its lexical form with the article. To remember the stem of a third declension noun, memorize the genitive form. 4, memorize the master case ending chart perfectly. 5, rule 7, square of stops. 6, labial plus sigma forms, speller plus sigma forms, and dentals plus sigmas forms the sigma. And then rule 8, a towel cannot stand at the end of the word and it will drop off. Okay. Turn the page. We weren't done. 8, ha day can be translated but he. And an article before a prepositional phrase is probably signaling that the prepositional phrase is in the attributive construction. 9, pas is a paradigmatic word for grammar yet to come, participle, so learn it well. And know the 4 different categories of adjectives. 212, 3103, 22, and 33. And then he says, like this, be encouraged. You now know all three declensions and almost all noun forms. So, yay. Yes.
If say like there's like a but she, would it be hey with? I'm just saying, you know, like
maybe yeah.
Maybe it's like he.
But he. Yeah.
I'm guessing that's because it's
possible.
The ha is masculine.
Right. It's okay. Possible. But they live in a very male centric world, so it's very hot day world. Okay. Let's take our workbooks out. We'll look at exercise 10.
News only happens if they're followed by a dollar, right?
Usually, yeah.
Usually, so in that yeah. Example right there with Austin, it's break school.
Which example?
1025, Austin. It has reasonable news. But it's added there, even though it's not followed by a vowel, and that's what I'm recommending.
Oh, man.
Oh, awesome.
1025.
Yeah.
The practice ball coming up there.
Oh,
you're good. You don't have to answer.
Yeah, no, I don't know. What is guiding the movable new there or not? What you have to be able to recognize is just that it means all.
Okay, that's just yeah. Okay.
It's much easier than knowing why they have a new there. Just can you recognize what the word is? And that's true. Okay, go ahead and fill in your third declension chart on your own. It'll take a couple minutes to do that.
Should we put the new parentheses? Or
if you want, yeah.
Would you do it?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do the parsing together. Let's break up into groups and by table. You two guys can work together right here. You guys.
So I don't count.
Here.
What?
Yes.
My knowledge of it.
That's why it's double up. Double knowledge together will work out. Two and then guys are back there. Okay, so like we'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. What? You're just doing your number to begin with. You're doing number 1, 2, 3, 4 as well.
See, so, like, if we were game playing.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
So much. That is fine.
Right.
Okay. So
it's like something more.
Yes.
Is that already in the flexible?
So you're going to work.
Awesome.
You know, there's a note in the gender.
So it's right.
Am I looking at it correctly? It's
in flexible form.
Is
that why you give us 5?
No.
You are awesome, man. So it's flexible.
Because it's flexible, it's always going to be. But it's not up yet.
Oh, this is a play.
So it costs. So when that number of the word,
which is why.
And then that's why there's nothing, because it doesn't change at all. Correct. We see it's neuter because of the talk. Which
and
why?
Since it doesn't change, that fits. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I know.
Because the soma, the word doesn't change at all.
Okay.
And so we know from the different little endings right here, it has to be right here. So we're looking at the declension. And if it's lexical, it's always non singular. So you look over here, and you're non singular, nothing has to it, which is why it's a sound. Does that make sense? That makes a little sense.
What dropped off of here?
Nothing.
Exactly.
No.
Okay.
What didn't want to stand at the end of it?
Dropped off.
It would have been ending it. What drops off of it is not wrong.
I don't know. Something dropped off. A little confused on there. Is this about the sigma?
It's for no.
It's
tau.
It's
okay.
This is a 313.
What's the more singular ending here? What's the manual about cows? What's manual number 8? How many finished your you finished yours?
Yeah.
You guys finished? Okay. You guys done?
Yeah.
All right, after you finish, how many have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Do 8, 9, and 10 as your inner group. Do 8, 9, and 10. The first one was a warm-up.
Yeah.
That is the end to the end of this
Is there words that can be possibly, they can be any gender? They can be every gender?
I really want to talk about it. This one took me a while.
So we can always find out one of the
Okay, as soon as you're done with 8, 9, and 10, then you can have your brief. Or you can work ahead on your translation.
The only way, I think. I have one question. Is there any possible way to figure out the gender of the lexicon? Not that I'd want to do it, but is this the only way on words like that?
You have to
and all the endings too, because that's the only way I'm going to be able to.
So we'd have to know
Sarkos and the other two. I have to know. If I don't, then I'm going to go, what the heck is going on? I do have it on there, but it wasn't clicking.
It wasn't, yeah, I don't
want to be on solid. So whenever I become a professor, that's going to be my whole thing. Because I'm a queen of art. Yeah. I just love that. Obviously not that
short.
Sure.
Yeah.
But like, it's
been
for you.
All the way through
the rest
of the
let me see. How good does it feel?
So pretty.
Very
good.
It's like you're related.
Well, you know what? This is like my fourth time through the Bible. So, I mean, it wasn't like I could just do it, but still.
Yeah, I thought it sounded pretty
good. Good job, man.
Very clean.
Yeah. That's accomplishment. There you go.
22 months of my life.
There you go. Dedicated to Chuck.
Chuck Frank.
Are we taking a break or something? But I'm over here plowing away through freaking three and pointing one.
Because we're actually doing it.
I'll just cut that as quickly as I think, because that's not like somebody that I want to be with, or respect. conflicting with the
regulation.
So,
yes.
Yeah, well, as soon as we started talking about the director, I told her that.
Very formal of you.
Second semester Greek.
Yes.
Would that be at the same time as physics?
I don't think we talked about it yet, but probably. That works out for everybody. Get her all down.
It was like, it may seem like a little thing, but it was so awesome.
It was huge.
Yeah, and so, and it was like one of the first times that
This on my iPad, but it's already on my phone now. Isn't that cool?
No, already.
It's already synced up. I'm liking that.
No.
My dad plays this game all the time. He just got the big king guy.
Like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I don't know what they're called.
You should tell them.
No, I
mean, or you should tell them to join my clan.
Oh, really? Okay, I'll tell them about it.
Level 79.
Wow.
That's
1,400 trophies, that's cute.
What happens in just Sim City?
You build a city, you put in some.
You can get a lower grade if you're not careful. He's going to make this part of Greek class.
I was like, so down, so down. I have 900 trophies. That's all I got right now.
Nice.
Where's your top?
You got your top off.
Did you guys join my clan?
I was, but then our clients started warming a lot more, and I kind of
left. How many people you got in here?
There's like pastors from all over the country.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, what kind are you in?
My dad has nothing on you.
Oh, this is a cover chapel one?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Calvary Chapel.
Really?
Nice.
You have a whole bunch of pastors.
Yeah, Warren is your name.
No, I have a bunch of junior hires.
Wait, how many people are in here?
John MacArthur.
Like 14.
Yeah. John MacArthur? John MacArthur has his own clan.
Yeah, but I'm trying to get that guy.
Are those guys good?
Which ones? Yeah.
I can't even get the healing guy.
It just throws up on me.
Did you get the
what?
That thing he's making right now, I just
did
got.
Did you get the
is it good?
Dark Elixir guys?
I don't know
if those.
I'm using my level 3 dragons.
I'm 7 across the board, so I can only get wizards right now.
There it goes.
What?
It's the worst. I said I only have 7s. My friends told me to upgrade everything while I'm at a certain town hall level. Does that make sense? No?
Right. If you're at town hall level 7, I would upgrade everything.
I'm at 5. I'm at 5 right now, and I'm trying to get everything maxed before I go to 6.
7's like...
Should I just go to 7 and do it?
7's like the gold mine for raiding people, for like farming.
Yeah, I'm giving like 30,000. I know this is really nerdy, but I embrace my inner nerd, so it's cool.
You are?
I'm sure.
I'm sure
the lady's probably very attractive.
There's strength in embracing the inner nerd inside you. Don't deny.
I will like it.
Do not deny.
They are all doing that. I'm curious that it's blank because I think it'd be hard to do this after distraction time.
Some people, like one lady said, oh, you're a Republican.
Yeah, different stuff like that.
We're like, what? Oh, because of Duck Dynasty or something.
Oh.
I don't know, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, or we know.
All right, are we back?
Rob's making a copy because he left his book at
home. Oh, okay.
In the other room.
Okay.
Oh.
Wait, do we have like 5 minutes? No, we just took
it. Oh,
I forgot to go back. That's so bad.
How do you forget that?
What? We were talking about Clash of Clans. Mm-hmm.
Gotta set their priorities.
He's having trouble loading it.
Yeah. No, that's okay. Okay. You guys have one, right? Okay. So. Nominate the spokesperson for your group and read the word, parse it, go for it.
Okay. Sarki.
Mm-hmm.
Dative. Singular, feminine. Sarts, two flesh.
Okay. Or 2A flesh, you could say, but two flesh. So good. You had the keyword for the dative, right?
What's
the
lexical?
Sorry.
Sarks.
Sarks.
With the
number 9 CDU.
Wait, say that again. You, there's a type of
SARS.
With a X.
With a X.
It's a lexical one.
With a kappa sigma.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Wait, he said that.
Rare.
Isn't it the same as number 9?
Yeah.
Lexical one?
Gotcha.
SARS.
SARS.
Yeah,
that's,
I just really wanted to say
number 9.
Interesting. All right, say that again. Now that we're all back, say it again.
Sarkis, dative, singular, feminine, lexical form sarks, inflected meaning to flesh, to a flesh.
Very good.
Fleshy, to some flesh.
Okay. Ladies, number 2.
Inflected word, tenos.
Correct.
The case is genitive, number is singular, gender is all of them.
Correct.
Means it's an adjective?
Yes.
The lexical,
oh.
The lexical form is kiss, and it means who or what.
Yes, but what is the key word for the genitive?
Of.
Okay. So, of whom? Or of which, maybe a question mark after that.
Oh, this is this.
So would you know if it's of what, which, or why based on the context of whatever?
The context.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you know it's
pronouns?
And is there always a question mark attached to that?
Because only in this sense, because it's of, it's asking, like, of whom? Yeah. Like, who? But of whom?
So
yeah. It's an interrogative. It's asking a question.
Would the verse normally have a semicolon?
Yeah.
Okay.
In place of whom, would whose ever be used?
Or who or whom?
No, whose.
Of whose?
No, not of whose. Instead of whom,
does this belong? Whose is this?
Sure. I guess if you were talking, what's the difference between who and object versus subject?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you're in that sense, yes.
So it would be of whom?
That would be one of the possible answers. Of which?
Oh, okay.
Of
so
what?
So any of those? That's not specific.
Yeah.
So would it matter with the article? Does an article go in front of that? So how would you distinguish the difference? Would you like asking a question or something?
Yeah, I know.
That sounds.
Yeah. So back in that chapter, part we talked about last week, in 10.11, piss, with an accent, is the interrogative pronoun who, the question mark. Tis, with no accent, is the indefinite pronoun meaning anyone. Okay? Yes.
How would you even use this in a sentence without it being a question?
Well, it would be, if it has the accent, it's going to start, it's going to start the question like who. You good?
Okay. It has the accent, actually.
Okay. Alright. Number three. You guys had number three, right?
It's accusative, plural, feminine. Lexical form is pos, and the inflected meaning is all.
All right.
So,
pos.
Pos.
All. Where's your pos chart?
It's in the book 86. Not 86, though.
All right, number four.
Number four was ena, and it was genitive singular, and it was gender was neuter.
Or?
Masculine and feminine?
No. Then you get too greedy.
Feminine.
Let's everyone look at the chart for the adjective case is 10.12. Everyone turn to page 82. Case is an adjective meaning one. The stem of the masculine and neuter is hen, and the feminine is first declension, mia. So the feminine form of this looks totally different than the masculine and neuter. So it's Hays, Mia, Hen.
So what's that mean for you?
So your genitive singular can only be masculine or neuter.
Well, without the chart, I thought that if I took the ending off, I'd have to root of the word.
Yeah, we have two different roots here.
Hold on, I just wrote it wrong.
So it doesn't follow this rule when it's in the masculine form. Because when I take off genitive singular ending, it's not in.
That's right.
Okay, so it's a weird one.
Well, it's not weird. It's just two different. There's two different stems here.
Okay.
N is the stem for the masculine and neuter. Mia, which is totally different,
yeah,
is the stem for the feminine.
Okay.
Is ace the lexical?
Yeah, what's the lexical form?
Always the nominative singular.
What is ace?
Yes.
Yeah, repeat your parsing again.
I'm parsing. It's genitive, singular, neutered, or genitive, and then the lexical, I guess, would be ace or hen.
It's ace.
It would be ace. Okay. And of one.
Yeah, with the keyword genitive of. So let me just fix that real quick. Henos is genitive singular, gender is masculine or neuter. From the lexical form "hais," reflected meaning of one. Now, when we talk about the stem, does that have any? Is that related to the lexical form? lexical form is always the nominative singular form, which is an inflected form. The lexical form of any word will always be nominative singular. That is an inflected form. That's why he'll tell us with an asterisk what the stem is, just so we know.
Okay, so the stem of this word is pen.
Right.
Okay, and when it's in the nominative singular, it's ace.
Ace, yeah. So the word, if you wanted to find it in the dictionary, would be the ace. Right. We would never find pen in the lexicon. But that is its stem. Why is the stem significant? Because look at all of the other inflected forms in the masculine form. Hanas, hani, hana. So they all use that stem. It's just a nominative singular one that's weird.
That's because the epsilon and the sigma can't be together. It's split between.
Yeah, there's all kinds of morphology going on in there. But the thing to remember is the lexical form will be the nominative singular. And when it's third declension, the way you find the true stem is by removing the ending from the genitive.
Okay. And so what's up with Mia?
Totally different stem.
Yeah.
It's different.
Okay.
That will happen sometimes.
So yes. When, like, this word, or this stem, that's all these changing,
mm-hmm.
if it was just a neuter, the nominative singular would be neuter. But because this is all the neuter or masculine, the same word, the same stem.
It's the masculine and the neuter share the same stem.
But the masculine is always going to be the lexical form. When something's going wrong.
For an adjective. Okay, number five.
Soma.
Yes.
Nominative, singular, neuter.
Okay, start over.
Soma, nominative, singular, neuter, and it's already in its lexical form. So its meaning is body.
Right. This could have been actually nominative or accusative. Soma. Singular, neuter, from soma meaning body. What dropped off of this nominative singular form?
The
tau. The tau, right? This is a mot ending.
Yep.
So mot. We see that from the genitive form of it, somatos. So the tau dropped off, that's why it's just soma. Alright, number six. Names, plural, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Genitive, plural, neuter from anima, meaning of name. Very good. Number seven.
Hena, accusative, singular, masculine, ace, and one.
Accusative, singular, masculine from ace, meaning one. Hena, very good. Did everyone find that one?
Ace. That's epsilon iota sigma.
Yeah. You can look her up in your, there's a chart for that.
Wait, sorry, and you said it's accusative, so it's.
Here's the chart for it.
It's a completely separate chart for this
one.
Oh my gosh. Accusative, singular, Yes, I see that too.
That's
right. I just want to make sure you can see that.
Okay. Yes.
How many cases are we going to have to memorize? Do we have nominative, genitive, dative, and accusative?
There's one more, but it is doesn't reflect like all the others. It's very simple. It's called the vocative.
Vocative.
Yeah. And these are the main ones.
Okay.
Everything else is built on these. We're actually, after this chapter, this is it for now.
Yeah.
As far as learning new material.
Yeah,
so now what we do is we apply it. So like we have a chapter on pronouns and stuff like that. We already know all the endings. So it's a little easier. Where did we leave off?
We're on number 8 now.
Number 8. Okay, if who in your group, you guys both read it, right? You read it once, you read it another time. Okay, so in your group, who didn't read? So can you do number 8?
Genus, nominative, plural, masculine or feminine.
Correct.
Tis, and who, or what?
Well, does this have the accent or not?
Someone.
No, it doesn't.
Plural. Oh, so that means someone, something.
Or anyone.
What do you mean?
Or someone.
Paragraph 10.11. Paragraph 10.11.
81.
Tis, with the accent, is the interrogative pronoun who. Tis, with no accent, is the indefinite pronoun anyone. Someone. Certain one.
So there's no to or of in front of that, right? It's just someone or something because it doesn't have the accent.
Well, yeah, there's no keyword in this one, but there's no accent, so it's like anyone, certain one. That's plural, so ones. Okay, very good.
How would you pronounce them differently with the accent without the accent?
You don't.
How do you make that plural?
Unfortunately,
we're not speaking
English.
Look at 10.11. There's a singular and a plural form.
Yeah, what I'm talking about, when you give the inflected meaning.
Yeah.
Talking about the English?
Any one in
English? Oh, certain one? I'd like to give it to a certain one or certain ones.
Alright.
Getting text messages from a group of pastors when I go see Fury.
Is that an invite?
They're strategizing on when they go.
I think it's a great movie.
You saw it?
Yeah. The first time when I came to Christ. Yeah. And no, even knowing that story,
they're negotiating.
I mean, if there are appropriate, I wouldn't take my kids to go see it, but...
You have kids?
No! Check, please.
Okay. All right.
I don't know, I'm not...
Sarksy, who's... Okay, whoever didn't read, right. Sarksy.
Dave, plural. Feminine.
Dative, plural, feminine, from
Sarks.
I
don't really like how it says, but two bodies, flesh,
two fleshes. Yes, the flesh is fine.
Could it have been singular? Or did I get it wrong?
It could not.
What did I do? I would say fleshy.
What was it? Was it plural?
Yes.
How is it not singular?
Well, who said that? Because it's
singular.
If it was plural, what would it look like? Look on your chart. It's page 83.
But he said there's
always a sigma.
I'm sorry.
If it was singular, you could have singular.
If it was singular.
I thought the only thing different with it's inflected with flexible is the old.
The inflected has a sigma on it, but it joins with the K sound and the sigma sound and makes a C. So the sigma's there, you don't see it.
It's within the C.
It's within the
sigma and the kappa have joined together and formed them.
So this is
the
third
kappa blends with the sigma yoda to.
Okay, third declension. So it's the C with the little mid guy.
The sigma yoda.
See?
Or the C with my little guy.
No. Yeah. If you go to check out six, it tells you that the kappa and the C with the C tone.
Like the same.
What? I don't know, but the whole class is wrong.
I like it.
That's a support. Right?
Sorry, it's not helping. It's not.
See, turn up this.
Data plural sharks is going to be sharks. See?
Data singular. Because the kappa and sigma?
Yeah.
You guys all get that? Did everyone get that one? What would the data singular be?
Sharky.
Alright, number 10. Back row.
Oh, all right. It's accusative, plural, feminine, and the lexical form is pneuma. And the inflected meaning is spirits, more than one.
Are we able to tell the gender from the word pneuma?
The bot ending? What about the article, though? We can check with the article.
Yes, when in doubt, you got to check the article. So what is the lexical entry for this word?
It's feminine.
You must call it
hey,
for
so
itself.
I know it's hey because...
Say it with conviction.
If it's neuter, then it's
neuter.
What's the lexical entry for it?
10:15.
What?
The lexis, so it says pneuma.
Look up the lexis.
What's the read me the lexical entry?
Numa ata ta spirit.
There you go.
It's neuter.
What the clension is it?
It's a third clension.
No. How do you know that?
Because of the genitive. The ata, excuse me.
Tas. Tas ending in the genitive.
And the ta comes when it's neuter.
What?
Yes.
There we go.
So is it only accusative or could it be nominative?
It could be both, nominative or accusative, plural neuter.
Huma, and then so it's accusative.
So why is this accusative?
Because what is the
spirits?
So it's a bit nominative or accusative.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Numa, right? What's the genitive form of it? Right? So, what's the genitive ending on the kickoff right now?
So, it is ma.
So, stems ending in a consonant or a weapon punching?
Third.
Third punching, ending in a consonant.
And so, the two can't, the consonant stands, so it goes away. There you go.
Because in the nominative, there's original ending, right? Will it stay in there? It's there. Okay. All right. For your homework. Homework you're going to do, I'm going to veer away from the syllabus. The syllabus originally was 1 through 4. I want you to do 1 through 6. You remember when my son did that?
And we haven't seen him,
right? We haven't seen him. That's
weird.
He's
got a groom. He has flag football, so. Okay, so do 1 through 6 for next week. That'll be due.
Translation,
1 through 6. Your vocabulary is due for next week for chapter 10.
Yes. Are you going to check the vocab books?
Next week?
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
And if they're
written, they're extra credit. Like we said in the beginning.
Extra credit if they're handwritten. What?
Yes.
What you're bringing in is not just chapter 10, vocab. All of all your cards.
All of your cards.
Okay. Okay. What? To get a week to do them all, right? Yeah. Okay, so vocab next week will be through chapter 10. Your translation will be through 1 through 6. Let's see, what else is there? Once you're done with that, you can start reading chapter 11. First and second person, personal pronoun. Okay? Alright? I want you guys to experience this on your own and work on your own, so I'm going to let you go a little early. And if you want to work on Greek right now, that's great. If you don't, then okay. All right, God bless you guys.
Are we good tonight?
When tonight, you remember on our schedule, what is different this month?
We don't have 17, no class.
17, I will be in 215 at the Accordance seminar. If you want to go to that, you need to register for it. Otherwise, we will not be having class.
What's the time duration?
9 to 5.
Talking to the part of it.
That's fine. I still register, though.
Okay.
Yeah. They single you out when you walk in late.
Spotlight.
When you register,
right? Accordance.
Okay.
There, it's seminars at accordancebible.com.
You want to review
What if you have a class from 112?
Finding you come and go. They have like a library and in the middle.
We will.
How did you even see that?